May the Lord bless and anoint the word that is to be shared, and also bless and anoint the ears that are to hear the word this morning. Are you bound for glory? Amen. It is a joyous thing to be able to sing together and share together in song, and to know that there is coming a day when we will do that throughout eternity, forever and ever, in the presence of an almighty God. In the meantime, we're here on this earth, and there are things that God has shared with us through his word, and you can turn to James chapter 2. I'll be reading verses 1 through 13. James chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. A number of years ago, we took our family to Hershey Chocolate World, and we went through the museum there, the road to carts, and did all the things, bought chocolate candy. And as we were leaving, walking out across the parking lot, to our astonishment, we heard this here horn blowing, profanity, and something obviously was not pleasing someone. Looked over a couple of parking spaces, there was a woman of a different nationality that was standing in a parking space. And there was a man there with his turn signal on, blowing the horn and calling her all kinds of names. And it ended with a shout, "Why don't you go back to the country you came from?" And we were astonished that we were seeing this right before our eyes. And it escalated to the point where he went and pulled in and she ran out of the way. The scripture here in James speaks to partiality. And I know that in a group this here who claim to be born again, who are washed in the blood, who are saints, this should not be named ever once among us that we are prejudiced or that we're partial towards something or someone or some people or something of that nature. But you know, we find we all have a bit of it. And I believe the Lord has a message for us this morning to consider how we're doing with partiality, with prejudice, with just feelings towards something that is different or something we don't quite feel like we don't quite agree with, and how we respond and how we react to it. We are all partial to something. My dad, he bought Chevy vehicles that just, he was partial to Chevy. I grew up, there you go. I grew up being partial to Chevy. I drove a Chevy till I bought a Chrysler at somewhere along the line, and well, that was a bad mistake, but then I bought a Toyota. Seems to be okay, but anyway, I'm still kind of partial to Chevy. You know, it said that Henry Ford, he created the Model T, and it was, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the way I understand it is still, of any model vehicle, was the most models that were ever sold at one model of that type, the Model T. And it was like, I don't know what the numbers were. I saw it somewhere. I forget. I didn't write it down, but not really that important. But the number of Model Ts that were made. You know, it's been said that 90% of the Fords are still out there. The rest of the 10% made it back. Okay. Getting a little off track here. But we're all partial to something. We go to the grocery store, we're partial to Hunt's ketchup. We go to the grocery store, we're partial to Cheerios. We're partial to something. If you want a good ribeye steak to grill, if you want a good steak to grill, it's ribeye. It's the way it is. We're partial. We prefer something over something else. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I ask you this morning, is it ever proper in the family of God, in the body of Jesus Christ, to show partiality to any one person above another person? Never. The first verse in James says, "My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ the Lord of glory with partiality. Do not hold it with partiality. And what is he asking us not to hold with partiality? It's the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we are going to be examples, living examples of the Lord Jesus Christ, we cannot do it by showing partiality. In some ways, we're all guilty in one way or another at times of showing partiality. I hear people talk about negative about people that are on welfare. I hear people give some very ungodly opinions about aliens coming into America. Deuteronomy 24:14 says this, "You shall not oppress a hired servant who is poor and needy, whether one of your brethren or one of the aliens who is in your land within your gates." So God has already given us a word of instruction as to how we're supposed to respond to those aliens coming into this country. You see what I'm saying? I hear people say some very derogative things about the different political parties, Democrats and Republicans, and Democrats are devil, Republicans are Christian. I hear people use slangs to describe different ethnic groups. I have witnessed condescending attitudes toward more conservative people than what we are. I've witnessed holier-than-thou attitudes toward those that seem to be more liberal or than what we are. When we have these feelings in our hearts, we will inadvertently act upon them. Think about it. When we have these types of feelings in our hearts towards people, we will inadvertently act upon them. So I ask you this morning to challenge yourself, to examine your heart as I examine mine, as I prepare this message, and come to realize again that the hidden things in there that I have harbored, that I am partial in areas that I don't want to be, because it doesn't represent Jesus Christ. The message in this passage of Scripture is simply this. The message of salvation is to be lived before all and giving all the opportunity to see Jesus in action by how you and I interact with them. Let me say that again. It's simply this. The message of our Lord Jesus Christ, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Is it up to you and I who we will witness to? Is it up to you and I who we will reach out to? The Bible says in Acts 1:8 that when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, when the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be witnesses. You will be witnesses. And I assure you this morning, we cannot be effective for the kingdom of God if we are harboring partiality in our hearts. We cannot. We cannot demonstrate to the world, we cannot demonstrate to those people living around us the gospel, pure gospel message of Jesus Christ to those people if we are treating them with partiality. Not possible. And as we go down through here, we'll be looking at these verses. And the end of these 13 verses, it sums it up with the idea, the opposite of partiality is mercy. And we cannot be partial and show mercy to people. As it relates to the kingdom of God, sharing the gospel message to those that are needy and to those who are around us. And in this case here, he brings it into the fellowship. And so if we are people here this morning who are practicing partiality within the fellowship, then we are not practicing mercy. Because you can't do both. Just a story on mercy from Chicken Soup for Your Soul by Eric Forum. "Your son is here," the nurse said to the old man. She had to repeat the word several times before the man's eyes opened. He was heavily sedated and only partially conscious after a massive heart attack, and he had suffered the night before. He could see the dim outline of the young man in a Marine Corps uniform standing alongside the bed. The old man reached out his hand, and the Marine wrapped his toughened fingers around the old man's limp hand and squeezed gently. The nurse brought a chair, and the tired serviceman sat down at the bedside. All through the night, the young Marine sat at the poorly lighted ward, holding the old man's hand and offering words of encouragement. The dying man said nothing, but kept a feeble grip on the young man's hand. Oblivious to the noise of the oxygen tank and the moans of other patients, the bustle of the night staff coming in and out of the ward, the Marine remained at the old man's side. Every now and then, when she stopped the nurse by to check on her patients, the nurse heard the young Marine whisper a few comforting words to the old man. Several times in the course of the long night, she returned and suggested that the Marine leave to rest for a while. But every time, the young man refused. Near dawn, the old man died. The Marine placed the old man's lifeless hand on the bed and left to find the nurse. While the nurse took the old man away and attended to the necessary duties, the young man waited. When the nurse returned, she began to offer words of sympathy, but the Marine interrupted her and said, "Who was that man?" Startled, the nurse replied, "He was your father." "No, he wasn't," the young man said. "I've never seen him before in my life." "Then why didn't you say something when I took you to him?" "Here's mercy. I knew there had been a mistake by the people who had sent me home on an emergency furlough. What happened was there were two of us with the same name from the same town, and we had similar serial numbers, and they sent me by mistake." The young man explained, "But I also knew he needed his son, and his son wasn't there. I could tell he was too sick to know whether I was his son or not, and when I realized how much he needed to have someone there, I just decided to stay." I believe as people of God, we are called above everything else to show mercy. The greatest commandment of the Bible, the two greatest commandments, and the first one is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and mind. The second one is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And are we able to do that if we show partiality? The message is simply this. Everyone deserves to be treated with respect. Every human being, no matter what status, no matter what they have done, deserves to be treated with respect and the dignity of the fact that you and I and everyone else was born and created in the image of God. Every person that you come in contact with, I don't know how low, I don't care how low you have put them in the category of partiality, deserves to experience the mercy of God at the hand of merciful children of God. Treating someone with a condescending attitude is not Jesus. Treating anyone with a holier-than-thou attitude is not Jesus. I ask you this morning, how are you doing? How are you doing when within the fellowship, if there's someone that you feel doesn't look quite right, doesn't act quite right, doesn't seem to be the smartest person, doesn't seem to be the wealthiest person, doesn't seem to be, and you can go on and name it, and in all of our minds, we at some point have put some people in a category. And I ask you, does that reflect Jesus Christ? Is that a reflection of the Holy Spirit? Is that a reflection of what God would do in that case? You know, I think it's important. And important doesn't give it justice. That we attempt to see every person for who they are. That we attempt to see every person for who they are, not for who their parents are. There's a couple started coming here to church years ago, and getting to know them, and I interacting with the man, I asked him who his parents are, and I will never forget his comment. He said, "I'd rather you don't know me by my parents." Probably because of some choices or something that his parents had made. I don't know. I didn't pursue it any further. And I said, "You're right. You're right. I don't need to base an opinion upon who your parents are. I want to know you for who you are." Scripture goes on in verse 2, and I want to just warn and caution us here as we get into verse 2. It talks about what partiality is. And don't get hung up on the rich and the poor as we get into this verse. Because what I believe he's speaking about is partiality. Well, and he uses it as an example. It says in verse 2, For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings in fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and say to him, "You sit here in a good place," and say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit here at my footstool." In verse 4, "Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts?" So he gives a little bit of an illustration of what partiality looks like. How that partiality is to accept face. In other words, it is to look at something at face value and make an opinion on it based on only what you can see on the outside, or based only on what you can see without getting to the depth of what it is or the person is or whatever it might be. It's making an opinion or a preference or being partial to something based on a surface appearance. As impartial as we would like to claim that we are, we have preferences. We have comfort zones with interacting with other people. Sometimes we're partial to people who don't quite fit the faith the way that we think they should fit it. So we're partial to how we interact. Well, verse 2, what is the sin of partiality? Let me try to bring that to some light here. In verse 2, we see James appealing to the church as a family. It says in verse 2, or in verse 1, he starts out, my brethren. And I think about family. So he's calling this attention to the brethren. And we are a family here at New Covenant. And not unlike a family where you have siblings and a father and a mother, but here at New Covenant, we are a family. We're a family of believers. And within a family and a home, we function close enough to each other. We function close enough together that we realize that at times we hurt each other. And we do it without intention. And the same thing happens in the body of believers, that we function close together. And in functioning as a family of believers, there are times that we hurt each other. And there are times that we do exercise partiality towards each other. And that's one of the things that I believe that we need to be aware of, that as we function as a family, and here's just a thought. Sometimes I think we have lifted church up to the place where it takes the place of God. That sounds pretty harsh. But I think sometimes we have lifted the church up as being the place where everything can be healed, everything can be right, everything can be good, everything can be everything we want it to be within the church body. You know what I'm saying? Taking the place of God. Only God can bring to you that type of thing. Only God can bring to you perfect peace. Only God can bring to you perfect healing. Only God can bring to you the things that sometimes we look at the church as being kind of expecting the church to do that. And in doing it, sometimes we show partiality. The word partiality means to receive face. The idea is taking people at face value. You look at them and immediately you begin to make judgments. She's a fake, or he's a loser. They're no fun. That person isn't deep or mature. As non-judgmental as we like to think we are, we make judgments based on appearance, socially, culturally, and even spiritually, we make these judgments. Who do you favor? Who do you favor? God doesn't play favorites, and it says it in Deuteronomy 10, 17 through 19. It says this: "For the Lord your God is a God of gods and a Lord of lords, the great, the mighty, the awesome God, who is not partial and takes no bribe. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing." That's our God. That's a description of our God, who is not partial. He reaches out. He gives food. He gives clothing. He is not partial. Verse 5 says, "Listen, my brethren, my beloved brethren." Again, he addresses the assembly. "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom by which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts?" See what he does there? He says, the people that you're showing partiality to are actually the ones who are persecuting you. They're the ones that are dragging you into the courts. They know what they want it, and they're going to get it. So they drag you into the courts. In verse 7 it says, "Do they not blaspheme that notable name by which you were called?" And then in verse 8, "If you really fulfill the royal law." And what was the royal law? The royal law, again, is described here. "According to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. If you fulfill the royal law, you do well. And the royal law is this: that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and that you love your neighbor as yourself." The royal law of God, these two laws, upon these two commandments, all the other commandments of Scripture hang and work off of. It determines by these two scriptures what all the rest of the commandments are in Scripture. In verse 9, "But if you show partiality, you commit a felony?" Nope. "You commit sin." Sin. If you show partiality, you commit sin. And that it's very sobering to think. And it says, "And are convicted by the law as transgressors." And are convicted by the law as transgressors. And in verse 10, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, 'Do not commit adultery,' also said, 'Do not murder.' Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." The law of liberty. "For judgment," in verse 13, and if you miss everything else that I said this morning, don't miss this verse. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Let me read that again. "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." Mercy triumphs over judgment. And when we practice partiality, we are practicing judgment. And that's what he's warning us against. That's what he's talking about, is the whole idea that you cannot be merciful and be partial. You cannot be merciful and be partial. And what 2 weeks ago, we had our missions conference here, and just a reminder, the missions conference was a reminder again of some of the possibilities that are out there for us to be able to be involved in missionary work, in missions activities, whether here or overseas or wherever it might be. And I want to add to that this morning, just a call to all of us to understand that today, where you are at, where you are working, where you are living, where you are communicating with other people or interacting with other people, you have the responsibility of showing the world around you that Jesus Christ is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and that there is no other way to salvation than through him. We all have that responsibility. Don't sit on a chair waiting till you feel something. Just do something. Because you and I have the responsibility to reach out to people and to show mercy to them. And we can't do it when we're showing partiality to people. So if your neighbor isn't quite what you think they should be, or you think they're less than you are, and you have a right to talk down about them or to look down on them or to treat them less than a human being, that is showing partiality, and the message of Jesus Christ will not come through to that person. You see, we hinder the message of Jesus Christ by showing partiality to people. God wants us to show mercy. God wants us to extend mercy. God wants you to reach out to the person that you least think you should reach out to. There's a person that you work with, and this morning you're saying, there is no way under the sun that I am going to take the time of day to reach out to that person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are rude, crude, socially unacceptable, they're religious or whatever they might be. I am not taking the time to reach out to that person. That is showing partiality. That person needs Jesus as much as the person does that has never seen or heard or even knows anything about the biblical gospel truth. What about the people that you work with day by day who have heard the gospel message, who have been brought up in churches, sitting in churches daily, but are still needing salvation? Is their soul any less than the person who has never heard the gospel? No. Again, we show partiality. And I encourage you, don't ever hear me as saying that's more important than missions and getting involved in reaching tribes around the world or in the 1040 window who have never heard the gospel. Don't ever hear me saying that. I believe that that is right. I believe that it is good. I believe that it is true. But at the same time, there is people who are beside us in our families that we work with, that we live beside, who we have deemed unworthy. Not by saying it. We don't say it. But we act it. That are not worthy to have the gospel of Jesus Christ shared with them. We demonstrate our love by giving of our resources. We demonstrate our mercy and love by giving our time. And we demonstrate our love by giving our Jesus. The saying is still true. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know. You can spin off the most theological understanding of Scripture to someone, but if you don't care, if there isn't a bone of mercy in your body, you've missed it. You've missed it. We all heard that down through the ages, these here statements have stood true. Practice what you preach. Actions speak louder than words. More is caught than taught. And we all know that is true with children. We all know that within the family, you'll find those children walking around saying things that you never knew you said. Sometimes to your embarrassment. but they catch it, you see. And when we are, when you and I, in the workplace, in our schools, in our churches, in our communities, are living like Jesus Christ, it will be caught. It will be caught. That doesn't mean that you don't have the responsibility to say something, because I believe that accompanied by actions is speaking. We cannot keep our mouths shut. We need to have them open. But are we being partial about who we reach out to? Are we? I can be the most convincing, smooth-talking person, but if I don't back it up with actions, it has no value. I don't go to the car lot and buy a car because some smooth-talking salesman convinced me that it was the best car for me to buy. What I want to do is I want to drive that car. I want to know for a fact that that car works. And I want to talk to some people who have had a Ford before I ever buy a Ford. You see what I'm saying? I want to know that it works. Not based on some talk about it. But I want to see it. I want to see it in action. You cannot embrace partiality and show mercy and caring for people. Verse 8 says, love your neighbor, the royal law. According to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. Brothers and sisters, it is impossible to love your neighbor and to show favoritism. Can you say that you love your neighbor as yourself if you show favoritism? As you have placed them in the category, you're not going to show them mercy because they don't deserve it. Is there somebody here within the body of believers, within the fellowship, that today you have deemed as unworthy? Is there someone here in the fellowship today that you have deemed that you can speak as evil of as you want to because they aren't worthy of respect? They aren't worthy of mercy. They aren't worthy. They aren't worthy. You didn't say it. You may not have said it. But my question is, are you acting it? Are you acting it? Do you have trouble? Do you avoid them? Do you walk on the other side of the aisle? And my plea again with this scripture is this, that every person, I don't care what their status is, I don't care what they look like, I don't care who they are, every human being deserves to be treated like a human being. You don't have to agree with them. You don't even have to really like them. And that's really sticking my neck out. You don't have to really like them. But you have to respect them as a human being. Come on. Because when we're not, we're showing partiality and we're disregarding mercy and we're just walking all over, treading all over the love of our Lord Jesus Christ that He has shown to you, the mercy that He has shown to you needs to be shown to others. Then he goes on, he says, in verse 10, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. And we have kind of come to a place where we can say, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I've kept pretty much the whole law, but, you know, as it relates to partiality or gossip and stuff like that, it's kind of the little stuff. Yeah, I need some work in that area. The Bible says that when you break one law, you have broken the chain. And there is not one that is more than the other. For he who said in verse 11, do not commit adultery, also said, do not commit murder. Now if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. What's the harm in ignoring? What's the harm in ignoring somebody I don't like? That's different or strange or weird. See, we judge sometimes based on job, performance, background, disabilities. And maybe we judge simply because they don't fit in our clique. Maybe we show partiality simply because they don't fit in our clique. We have this little group of buddies and they don't fit in. I'm not scolding you this morning. I'm sharing the scripture with you and asking to examine. Are we doing these things? Who's invisible to you? Who is it that there's somebody that just really doesn't matter that much? Did you know that the highest disrespect that you can pay to a human being is to disregard them? I know I said it before here, but I say it again. The highest form of disrespect that you can show to a human being, above beating them, slapping them, and all other things, it has been determined the most emotional damage that you can do to a human being is to disregard them as unimportant, not even valuable enough to answer. All of us have grown up in families where it feels a little bit like your parents showed partiality to your brother or your sister. See, I hit a nerve there. My brother or my sister, they get more attention than I do. My parents think more of them than I do. And you see how quickly that can happen based on what? On what? It's a perception. It's a perception that we have. So all the more, we as parents, we as family members, we as brothers and sisters in Christ, need to be on our guard about showing partiality, about showing that someone is more important than someone else within the family of believers. First Samuel, it amuses me, even Samuel fell for this when he went to look for the king to take Saul's place. 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected," this is the Lord speaking to Samuel, "I have rejected," this is after he went through all the sons of Jesse and still hadn't found one. I mean, they looked right, they looked good. These guys were handsome and he was thinking that one of these had to be one that God was choosing. And God says this, "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. There was a survey done, Life magazine. There was a photo essay. People from all walks of life, from the homeless to the Fortune 500 executives were photographed. Every one of them was wearing a towel wrapped around their bodies. They didn't have distinctive clothing. And you know the conclusion was that they all looked the same. Why is that? Why is it? When you remove all the what we determine tells us who you are, when you remove all that, why is it that we all look the same? We're all made of dirt. We're all made of dirt. We are all the same. And every human being, no human being, let me rephrase that, no human being deserves to be treated like dirt because we are all created in the image of God. Let's stand together. There's no one human being that is better than you or worse than you. We are created in the image of God. It is time we crush partiality. It's time we crush it. It's time that we extend true mercy. And when I say this, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying put a blessing on sin. I'm not saying put a blessing on disobedience to the Word of God. I'm talking about human beings. I'm talking about human beings created in the image of God. Lay aside whatever it is that we have predetermined. And I invite the chorister to come and lead us in song at this point as I become messengers of mercy to each other. Do away with our social networks and honor the Father through being truly people who hold the gospel of Jesus Christ without partiality, as it says in verse 1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. The last verse, 13, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Go ahead. As Merlin leads us in song, if God's speaking to you this morning, and you feel that you need to come to the altar and deal with something, feel free to do that. But if I encourage you above everything else, that even where you stand, but if God's moving you for whatever reason to come to the altar, as I said last Sunday, the altar is open. It doesn't have to be anything relative to what was spoken here this morning, but it's open for you to come and find freedom in Christ. Go ahead.
So